I want to talk to you about this hymn. I was picking the hymns yesterday, and I picked hymns that I reckon would suit with the service, you know? Sort of like a topic that goes with the service. And I had them all lined out on my sheet here, my service thing here. I was going through them and listening to them, make sure I get the right notes, and where there's a pause, and that sort of thing. Anyhow, I had this one here for after the service. We might have a hymn after the service, you see. We might not. Depends on how we go, what happens. But we might have a hymn after the service. And I had this one picked for after the service. But when I read the words in it, I said, no, I'm going to put that one just before the message. Because my message today is about a particular topic. And this hymn here says here, O send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Right? Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed I see the Lord. Wow. Well, O send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes. You know, a lot of us look around, we don't see. We need the Lord to touch our eyes and open our eyes to see and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed, I see the Lord. That goes with my message today. All right? And I would like you, please, to open your Bibles to John, the book of John, chapter 18, and you'll see what I mean. And the second last verse, too, the third verse, has got something in there about truth, revealing truth to us. John 18, verses 33 to 38, I want to read. Ready? Here we go. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Okay? Let's pray and offer the service to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given each one of us, Lord, to know the truth, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come here today, Lord, each one of us. And we thank you, Lord, that when we do come here, we don't come here to dance around and sing and just make a lot of joy, Lord. We come here to fellowship with each other, encourage each other, and also, Lord, to hear your word and find from your word, Lord, what it is that you want us to know. We thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture, Lord, that tells us about Pontius Pilate and the interaction he had with Jesus, Lord, and his great question that he asked, Lord, what is truth? We pray, Lord, that as we consider this question today, Lord, that you would help us to have eyes that are open. Allow us to have open eyes, Lord, to see, and open ears to hear, Lord, and hearts, Lord, that are ready to receive the word from you, Lord, that's planted in our hearts, and take root, Lord, and shoot in our hearts, and cause us, Lord, to grow in our knowledge and understanding and our love for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message is, What is Truth? What is truth? All right? In verse 37 and 38 of our opening scripture, it presents us with a statement from Jesus and then a responding question from Pontius Pilate. Jesus states in verse 37, To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth.
Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Notice that. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. In verse 38, Pilate responds to Jesus' claims with the question, what is truth? What is truth? But he didn't wait for an answer. Instead, he left Jesus alone in the judgment hall and went out to the Jews and announced to them, I find in him no fault at all. Amen? That's what we learned from the scripture. We heard that from the word of God, okay? There's great debate, and opinions are many and varied, as to why Pontius Pilate didn't wait for Jesus to respond to him with the answer to his eternally significant question. And I'm not going to add fuel to the debate by pretending that I'm the one who's finally found the answer, right? But what I do want to do is I want to point out that it wasn't that Jesus wouldn't or couldn't answer Pilate's question, but rather that Pilate wasn't prepared to wait for an answer. He got up and walked out. Didn't wait for Jesus to respond. Also, we should take note that the truth Jesus spoke about in our opening scripture was an altogether different kind of truth to the one Pilate was asking about. All right? We need to take note of that. The truth that Pilate was asking about was different from the truth that Jesus spoke about, as we're going to see as we go through the message. What I want to do this morning is present us with a couple of questions about truth. I've always got a question. I say that, eh? Last week I had questions. Always got a question. It's good to ask questions. If you ask questions, you get an answer from people, or you might not get an answer from people, but usually you'll get an answer from people. Keep your eyes open and your ears open, and you'll hear what they believe. What I want to do this morning is present us with a couple of questions about truth. But unlike Pontius Pilate, hopefully we'll stay in the meeting long enough to get some appropriate answers to our question. And also, I hope by the time we finish that we won't be mixed up about what kind of truth Jesus and the scriptures speak about. So, the first question I want to ask is the same one Pontius Pilate asked. And it's also the same one that supposedly highly intelligent thinkers and philosophers down through human history have continued to ask. The question is, what is truth? A second question I want us to try and answer is much like the first, and it is this. Can we know truth? Can we know truth? Can we actually know absolute truth? So there's two questions. A third question I want to pose is this. If we can come to an understanding and we can agree just what truth actually is, we can also agree that truth is knowable, then I want to ask, where is truth? Where is truth? Where should we look? And what is it that we should point to if we're going to prove to someone that we have actually found truth? What are we going to point to if we want to convince somebody that we are of the truth? Okay? Let me just add a caution here before we get started. As people who have professed to be Bible-believing Christians, we could not possibly conduct this discussion outside of our own Christian group. All right, and expect to come to any sort of agreement with everyone. It would quickly degenerate into heated arguments. Okay? If we believe what the Bible says, then we are going to be thinking differently from people who do not believe what the Bible says on any given subject. Differently from people who do not believe what the Bible has to say on anything. Okay? We're going to be thinking different. And in this new environment of increasing hostility towards Christians, they won't like or agree with our conclusions about these questions. In fact, it's getting to the point where Christians are being sued and getting themselves locked up because of our interpretation of truth, and it confronts and offends non-Christians. Have you discovered that? It's getting worse. And as time goes on, my friends, expect it to get much worse. It hasn't happened here in Australia that much yet, but in America, over the last couple of years, it has escalated. People are in jail today for standing for truth. God says in the Word that if we love him, we'll be persecuted. We don't get much persecution here in Australia yet, but it's coming. I'm warning you, it's coming. And we need to get prepared. We need to be able to stand for God and stand for him in the face of persecution. Most professing Christians wouldn't. All right? We need to be able to stand in the face of persecution. We come from a perspective of what is called biblical or Christian worldview. That's where we come from. On the other hand, unbelievers, which today also includes a vast number of professing, though apostate Christians, they come from what is called a secular, non-biblical worldview, a secular worldview. And never the twain shall meet. Amen? Despite attempts to do so, the two worldviews cannot be reconciled. We can't reconcile them, despite that many people are trying to do that. Many churches are trying to do that. Colossians 2:8 warns the Christian, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Philosophy. So, let's now take a closer look at Pontius Pilate's response to Jesus' claim in John 18:37, where Jesus said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pontius Pilate's response of what is truth demonstrates that he was influenced by his secular worldview. And consequently, he did not hear the message behind what Jesus said. He missed the spiritual truth in what Jesus was claiming. He didn't wait for an answer. And in that instance, as he walked away, he departed from the opportunity to be saved and handed Jesus back to the Jews, who he knew were going to put him to death. He knew that. In Matthew 27, verses 18 and 19, we discover that Pontius Pilate knew that it was because of envy that the religious Jews had delivered Jesus unto him. And yet he still didn't get the message when Jesus said, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And there was another reason why Pilate should have made some kind of an effort to listen to what Jesus had to say. Because verse 19 of Matthew 27 is a really frightful example of a person who listens to the Lord's words, but who refuses to hear what he's saying. We are told of Pilate in verse... Have a look at this, please. Matthew 27, verses 18 and 19. Pontius Pilate knew Jesus was not a criminal. He also knew he hadn't done anything wrong. He knew that, and yet he still handed them back to the religious Jews. So, as I said, there's another reason why Pilate should have made some kind of effort to listen to what Jesus had to say. Because in Matthew 27, in verse 19, here's an example of a person who hears the Lord's words but doesn't hear what he says. All right? We are told of Pilate that when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." His wife was warned in a dream, "Don't touch that bloke, Pontius Pilate. Don't touch him. Let him go." He refused to hear again. All right? Pontius Pilate's wife had a vision, a dream, where somebody told her, an angel or whatever, came and told, "Have nothing to do with that man. He's a just man. He's a just man. He's done nothing wrong." Now, this scenario is played out every day all around the world. Maybe not the exact same circumstances, but exactly the same outcomes. Many proud people who are defiant against God will actually listen to the gospel being preached to them, but they won't hear its message because of their rebellious heart. They're rebellious against God, and so therefore they can't hear the word. They can hear the words, but they can't understand them. In Ezekiel 12:2, God spoke to the prophet about this issue. Turn there, please, and let's have a look at Ezekiel. I won't have you turn to too many scriptures, but I'll get you to turn to a couple. This one's important. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2, about people listening but not hearing, all right? Ezekiel 12:2 says, God spoke to the prophet about this issue, and he said, "Thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not, they have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house." You see that? Did you see that? Yes? No? You see what it says? It says there, here, "Thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not." They've got eyes to see, but they don't see. and ears to hear and hear not. Why? For they are a rebellious house. Rebellion, the hardness of heart and their defiance towards God prevents them from hearing spiritual truth. You see that in the scripture? If you've got a hard heart against God, you won't be able to understand his word. And if you're not saved, you won't be able to understand it either. In John 8:47, Jesus restated this particular accusation. He said to the Pharisees who were trying to catch him out in blasphemy, he said, "He that is of God heareth God's words. He that is of God heareth God's word." He said to the Pharisees, "Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Spiritually deaf. Jesus could speak all he liked to them, they wouldn't hear it. The Apostle John also made this observation, and it applies to the unbeliever who is not genuinely seeking truth, as well as the religiously proud professed believer. He wrote in 1 John 4:6, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So you've got to be of God to be able to hear what's... You can hear the words, but you mightn't hear what they're saying, all right? Pontius Pilate was unable to hear or discern the truth Jesus was speaking about because spiritual or moral truth of the type that God instructs the true born-again Christian about is not able to be understood by the spiritually dead. If you're not born again of the Spirit, you cannot understand the things of God. And I was talking to some people about that this morning. We read of this in... turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians... We read of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 12 to 16. It tells us here, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that is the unsaved, unborn again man or person, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." They are foolishness unto him. "Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual," that is a person who's born again of the Spirit, "judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he, God, may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? In other words, that's saying, God can only instruct you if you've got the mind of the Lord. If you haven't got the mind of the Lord, you can listen to all this Bible preaching. It won't make any sense. You must be born again. If there's someone here today and you have not responded to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're a bit like Pontius Pilate and you have not responded to the persuading conviction of the Holy Spirit and have not repented of your sins and accepted God's free offer of salvation from eternal penalty of those sins, which is conscious death in hell for eternity, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Saviour and been born again spiritually, then according to the scripture we've just read, you cannot receive an understanding of the things of the Spirit of God. And neither can you know anything about them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now you might say, "Oh, well, what if they're reading the Bible and they're unsaved and they read the gospel?" Ah, different thing. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who will believe. If an unbeliever is reading in the Bible and they read the gospel, they can hear it. The Holy Spirit uses the gospel to bring repentance and salvation. Amen? And we can preach the gospel to unbelievers who will understand it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. The Holy Spirit can use that to bring conviction and bring a person to repentance and salvation. So spiritual truth can only be understood by a person who has been made alive spiritually. That is, by a person who has been born again of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, the things that God wants to communicate to you will not make sense, and they will seem like foolishness unto you. When you have been truly born again of the Spirit, suddenly the light comes on, and what once seemed like foolishness now makes perfect sense. And you wonder why you couldn't previously see or hear and understand something so plain and obvious. Anyone else have that experience? When I got born again, I thought, why didn't somebody tell me about this before? The pastor said to me, "You wouldn't have heard it. Probably hundreds of people have told you, Huey. You haven't heard it, that's all." thought, wow. You know, think, hang on. Oh, I remember my grandma telling me about Jesus. Yeah. Okay. So, hadn't gone in. I heard the words, hadn't heard the message behind it. It makes perfect sense once you're born again. Once you get born again in the Spirit, spiritual things make sense. It's like a light got switched on. And you wonder, why couldn't I believe this before? And let me just add that you will also have a deep sorrow. You'll have that wonder about why you couldn't hear and why didn't you believe it beforehand. But you'll also have a deep sorrow because of the amount of your life you wasted in spiritual darkness, looking for answers to life's questions in places they couldn't be found. We all did that. We're all looking for the truth. All looking for the truth, looking everywhere it wasn't to be found. When we have truly trusted in the Lord for salvation and we have truly been regenerated by His Holy Spirit, we are then in a suitable place to ask our first question, what is truth? And with the Lord's help, we can come to the correct answer. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? He asked what seemed to be the right question and he asked the right person, but really it wasn't the right question because like many who profess to be seeking truth today, the truth Pontius Pilate asked about wasn't the truth Jesus spoke about. And besides that, also like many who ask the same question today, Pontius Pilate was far too busy and distracted to wait for an answer. He didn't have the time. Today we live in a postmodernist society or a culture where philosophical arguments about what is truth actually rages. It's raging, unrestrained. Everybody wants to know what is truth. My truth may not be your truth in this day and age, and vice versa. Truth is subjective and depends upon what you believe to be right for your own set of circumstances. We live in an age that is governed by situational ethics. The situation we are confronted with determines the course of action we will take to arrive at our own self-interested outcome. That's what we do. Modern society is pragmatic in that it does not question if our actions are morally or ethically right, but rather, will they give us the result or the outcome we desire for our own personal benefit? What is right and what is wrong changes from situation to situation and even from person to person. You realise that, eh? We live in a postmodernist society. Everybody's free to make up their own truth. Your truth may not be my truth and vice versa. Okay? And besides that, your truth might prevent this situation that I need to happen from happening. So I deny that truth and I go with my own truth to get my result. It's called pragmatism. It's called evil too. Abortion is not right, is it? But it is for some people. How dare you impose your belief on women? They've got their own rights. They've got their own truth. Haven't they? You see, everyone's free to make up their own choice today. Postmodernism, pragmatism. What's good for me might not be good for you. What's true for me might not be true for you. About 2,500 years ago, an angel told the prophet Daniel, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." We all know that scripture. It's in Daniel 12:4. We are seeing a dramatic fulfilment of this in our day. But with the increased knowledge, we also see a corresponding increase in lies and deception. The Bible also predicts in 2 Timothy 3:13 that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We see that wholesale today. With the increased knowledge and the advancement of technology also has come the corresponding opportunity for evil men to seduce and deceive. Because of the flood of false information in our day, young people in particular are being desensitized to what is truth and what is just plain lies. You young people, listen to me today, please. In a recent survey conducted amongst 7,800 young people by the Standard History Education Group in America, it was discovered that most of the youth were unable to judge the reliability and integrity, that is, the truthfulness of online information. They were unable to judge. They were unable to discern truth from error. The report stated that overall, young people's ability to reason from the information on the internet can be summed up in one word. Bleak, bleak, B-L-E-A-K, bleak. Their ability to discern between truth and error is bleak. They're easily lied to, in other words. Young people today are easily lied to, and a lot of older people too. But with the young people, the up-and-coming generation, it's rampant. It's rampant. They've got no idea what truth is. Along with the way that our up-and-coming society is being educated, or should I say not educated, not being educated, to think critically about what they read, hear and see, the majority of them are far too busy playing and entertaining themselves on their electronic devices to be concerned with learning to think properly. They can't think properly. They can't think. They are actually entertaining themselves to death because they are conditioning their minds to uncritically accept anything that anyone with a bit of authority, or worse still, a bit of fame, tells them. If some rock star or sports idol says that something is true, then they believe it to be absolutely true. Wow, you see today, we've got rock stars who get up and, you know, with the president or somebody and sprout something and the people all just believe it because they're famous. What authority have they got to do that? They haven't got any, except the people who get them up to do it. Because they're famous, they influence the people that love them, idolise them. Anyhow, young people are more excited about spending time in virtual reality and interacting with pretend friends on Facebook than they are in discovering if something they have been told is true or false. They don't know what is real and what isn't. And worse still, they don't seem to care. They don't seem to care that they're being lied to. Ignorance is bliss is the motto of this generation, my friends. A bloke called Dio Chrysostom. He lived in 40 AD to 120 AD. All right, a Greek philosopher and historian of the Roman Empire in the first century, okay? He made a profound statement when he commented about people in his day. This is what he quoted back in year 100 AD. Like men with sore eyes, they find the light painful, while the darkness, which permits them to see nothing, is restful and agreeable. Wow. That's pretty profound, isn't it? That bloke had a problem with people believing lies back 100 AD. You want me to quote it again? It's a good quote, isn't it? This bloke wrote this, Dio Chrysostom. Greek philosopher, he's a historian, Roman Empire, historian and philosopher. He said, like men with sore eyes, they find the light painful, while the darkness, which permits them to see nothing, is restful and agreeable. Now, if that doesn't perfectly describe the vast majority of people on the earth today, 2,000 years later, both old and young, then nothing else does. Amen? And it doesn't come as any surprise to God that this is the case. Open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. John chapter 3, 19 and 20. No surprise to God that that's how things are. Verses 19 to 20, it says, Jesus, it's recorded where Jesus said something similar to this Chrysostom bloke. Jesus said, and this is the condemnation. Verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's exactly what Chrysostom said, just in other words. Like men with sore eyes, men love darkness rather than light. They love lies rather than truth. They hate the light because it exposes their evil deeds, so Jesus said. It reveals their preference of lies rather than truth. They prefer the darkness which permits them and everyone else to see nothing, and therefore they can remain unaccountable. They find darkness restful and agreeable. They are willfully blind and they are willfully deceived. The controversy that has followed the American elections over fake news, you've all heard that term, fake news? Have you heard it? A lot of people haven't heard it. You see, Andy, you haven't heard it. It's the rage in the news at the moment. Fake news. Fake news. So the controversy that has followed the American elections over fake news is a result of contemporary society inability to discern truth from error, particularly amongst the young. According to the political left, fake news originates from the political right. And according to the political right, fake news originates from the political left. Fake news is the publication of lies and distortions through the print media, the internet, the TV, and by word of mouth. And according to the Bible, the reason that the world is full of fake news on all sides of politics is because we live in a fallen, sin-cursed, spiritually darkened world. But don't be fooled, because fake news has been around since the beginning of time. It didn't originate with the 2016 American elections. Amen. Fake news includes the teaching of evolution. That's fake news. The Big Bang Theory. That's fake news. All right? They're taught as though they're proven to be fact, but they're not. It promotes that Islam is a religion of peace. The fact that most Western non-Muslim societies now believe that lie, despite all the available evidence to the contrary, sufficiently demonstrates how successfully fake news works. Fake news also promotes as morally right, for example, such things as abortion, as we just mentioned, the homosexual lifestyle, men and women living together out of wedlock, criminalising the disciplining of our children, and the list could go on. That's all fake news. And that fake news has been spread through the communities now for quite a few years, and everybody's believing it now. It's fake news. I think we should be able to see by now that everything that is contrary to God's word, whether it be political, moral, or even philosophical, is fake news. All right? Everything that's contrary to the word of God is fake news. It's a lie. It's a lie. But we still haven't determined the answer to our difficult question. We've gone through there, but we still haven't answered the question, what is truth? Have we? Have we answered that question yet? No, we haven't. We haven't spoken about it. All right, we're going to now. And it's getting towards the end of the message. We haven't put much time in it. We're going to run out of time. We won't be able to prove. What is truth? Well, we're going to. Open your Bibles, please. Again, John 17, 17. Easy one to remember. What is truth? Here we go. You're all there? Good. Jesus praying to his Father, and he said, he made a request and followed it with a statement. Praying on behalf of his apostles, he asked God, sanctify them through thy truth. He prayed to God for his disciples, sanctify them through thy truth. Then he made an explicit statement to God. He said, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. So, the answer to number one question, what is truth, is told by Jesus himself. The person Pontius Pilate walked away from without waiting for an answer. God's word is truth, my friends. And thankfully, the Lord our God has given us his word in a book called the Bible. Every word in the book is pure truth. Now, we have to be careful today because there's all these different Bibles. All right? Which one has the truth? Well, you need to find out for your own spiritual safety. And I can tell you now, it's not in the Message Bible, and it's not in the JW's Bible, and it's not in the Mormon's Bible. It's not in any of those, my friends, because those Bibles were written a long time after the Bible's set down in stone, right? God gave us his word in the beginning, and we've got a Bible based on the original words that God spoke to his prophets and apostles. Thy word is truth, the Bible. Amen? We've got that. We've got that, and the King James Bible is based on it. You can't have every Bible in the world being the truth if they all disagree with each other. Because God's word is pure. So you can't have every Bible. So we must now determine in our own hearts, we've got to do a little bit of study and find out which Bible is the truth. If you read another Bible that's not the truth, then you're going to be getting lies. Is that right? Makes sense, doesn't it? We've got to find out which is the right one. Okay. So, Jesus said, thy word is truth. And every word in the Bible is pure truth. The answer to question one, what is truth, is told by Jesus himself, the person Pontius Pilate walked away from, as I said. God's word is truth. And thankfully, the Lord our God has given us his word in the book called the Bible. As Christians, we have no excuse not to be able to answer that question, what is truth? We've got no excuse, all right? The Lord Jesus plainly tells us what truth is. That is, if we've been reading the Bible. If you've been reading your Bible, you'll come across that one day and you'll find out, oh, Jesus said, thy word is truth. That must be true. But don't expect the unsaved and the secular worldview, with these secular worldview, to agree with you, my friend. Don't expect the unsaved to agree with you, because they're coming from a secular worldview. And be careful, because there are many professing Christians in many churches today that also interpret everything through the lens of a secular worldview rather than through the Word of God. But I hope you can agree with me that that as Bible-believing and Bible-obeying Christians, our belief about what is truth should be based entirely upon our biblical worldview and what we read in Scripture. Is that right? That's where we are here, isn't it? We want to find out what's truth. Judge it by the Scripture. Find out what is truth. Have a look in your Bible. Somebody tells you something, Andy. Is that true? I don't know. Well, have a look in your Bible to see if it's true. Find out whether it's truth or error. Psalm 12:6 assures us the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The words of the Lord are without any error or falsehood. You can believe that, my friends. Their purity and truth is established by God himself. God declares them more pure than earthly silver that has been purified seven times. God is not saying that his words have had to be purified seven times, but that they are like silver that has been purified seven times. They're absolutely pure. There was never, ever any imperfection in God's words. And seven, God says they're like silver that's been purified seven times. Seven is God's number for perfection. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Is that right? God is light. Bible tells us that. We can believe it. His written word, the Bible, is truth. And in it, there is no error or lie. We have been given absolute truth from God, and we are not to allow any contradiction. Not allowed to make any contradiction to the Word of God, my friends. The Bible claims to be the sole divine revelation that God has given mankind, and we are to believe it. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we are instructed to judge everything by it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You can't be perfect. God can't say you can be perfect if his word's got errors in it. How can he say we'd be perfect? God says we can be perfect, my friends, in the knowledge of what he wants and truth through his word. We are to follow no other doctrine, so we are told in 1 Timothy 1:3. In the book of Jude, verse 3, we are instructed to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That means we are forbidden to give any credibility to contradictory doctrines. Is that right? That's right, isn't it? We're forbidden to do that. We're forbidden. We're to contend earnestly for the faith. We're not to allow anything contradictory to come in. Now, the other thing that I want to point out there too, where God said in Psalm 12:6, it says that God is the one who's responsible for preserving his word, not man, okay? God promises that he will preserve his word for us down through the ages, and he has done, all right? We can believe that, but it's not up to us to preserve it. God does that, amen? He says himself, I will preserve them. Amen? So now we've established what truth is. The question that has perplexed supposedly great thinkers and philosophers down through the ages, and having done so, things have been made profoundly simple with regard to answering questions 2 and 3. So we've got questions 2 and 3 to get through yet, and it's nearly time to finish. Can we know truth, and where is truth? All right? In fact, because of our biblical worldview, we can even answer both questions from one short statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's good, isn't it? You just go by the Bible. It's very simple. In John 6, 31 and 32, open your Bibles, please, to John 6, 31 and 32. Everyone should know this scripture, John 6, 31 and 32, but we're going to read it. We're going to look at it and read it and hear it, see it and get it in our heart, all right? We're going to find out, can we know truth and where is truth? John 6:31 and 32 says this. Then Jesus said to those which believed on him, hey, you've got to believe on him, all right? You've got to be a believer. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise the Lord. That's pretty good. Can we know truth? Jesus assures those of us who have believed on him for our salvation and who have been made his disciples that we definitely can know truth. You see that? Verse 32 says very clearly that if you are one of his disciples, you shall know the truth. Now, where can we find the truth? Jesus assures us that the truth is found in his word, the Bible. Verse 31, Jesus says, if you continue in his word, we shall know the truth. And the great benefit we get from being able to find where truth is, to read truth and to know truth, is that if we continue in it, it will keep us free from being deceived by all the fake news. Amen? All the strange philosophies and all the false doctrines and activities that today are leading the majority of so-called churches throughout the world into gross apostasy. One question we haven't asked this morning is, who is truth? We who are Christians know the answer to that. Who is truth? We didn't ask that one. We're going to ask it now. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the source of truth. He is the living word of God. And he communicates truth for the salvation of men. But that is a completely different topic, all right? We can't go into that now because we're getting to the end of the message. We don't have time to cover it this morning. But who is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. Amen. Let me close with a quote from one of my commentaries. Now, as I said, I don't base all my theology on commentaries, but they can be helpful. And some blokes say some pretty amazing things, like that bloke reckon, you know, if you've got like a man with sore eyes, you don't like the light, you like to sit in the darkness, so you don't see anything. But anyway, one of my commentaries said this. In the same way, and we're going to close with this, in the same way that Pilate did, thousands ask the question in the same way today. But they have a fixed contempt for the Bible. They deride the instructions of Christianity. They are unwilling to investigate and to wait at the gates of wisdom. And hence, like Pilate, they remain ignorant of the great source of truth and die in darkness and in error. All might find truth if they would seek it. None ever will find it if they do not apply for it to the great source of light, the God of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and seek it patiently in the way in which he has chosen to communicate it to mankind. That's a pretty good statement too, isn't it? Anyhow, along with the psalmist who wrote Psalm 25, let it be our prayer as well. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this short time that we're able to spend, Lord, looking into your word and pondering this subject, Lord, that has baffled people, great thinkers, Lord, down through the ages, down through the centuries, down through the millenniums, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that simple-minded people like us, Lord, can come here on a Sunday morning and open your Bible, look in there, Lord, and find what is truth. Thank you, Lord. It's not a difficult thing, Lord. It's an easy thing, providing we commit our way to you. We do pray, Lord, that there any people here today, Lord, that are seeking you and have not found you yet, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit continue to woo them, Lord. Draw them to yourself. We know your word says that you draw all men unto yourself. And the unsaved people, Lord, we pray that you draw them. Continue to draw them, Lord. Continue to shed light for them, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.